can't remember. It was in August. Yeah, it was in August. My wife's dad passed away. We had his funeral over here at the other building, 820 West 17th Street, over there. It's called Fellowship Baptist at the time. And we had his funeral over there, and that song was sang at his funeral, touring that city. That's a good old song. God has, I'm glad I got saved back in 48 years ago. I've been saved now for 48 years. Wouldn't have been saved if it hadn't been for my wife going to a Baptist church. And a couple of people came out from the church, Brother Mayfield, and a deacon, one of the deacons of the church, name was Brother Weems. He came with him and came and knocked on my door. We lived in a one-room house in the back by the alley back there. We didn't have any kids at the time. And Brother Mayfield began to talk to me, and I knew something was different, and I knew something was going to happen that day. And I wanted what he had. I wanted to be saved. And I got a Bible after I got saved. I began to read the Bible. God's given us the Holy Scriptures, and we talked about that a lot in Sunday school this morning. And it's too bad that everybody don't want to just read the Scriptures and let the Scriptures say what they say. So this morning we have what is called in the Bible of false prophets and false teachers in chapter 2 and verse number 1 of 1 Peter. So let me read that for you, beginning in chapter 2 and verse number 1. Last week, remember, right up above that, I gave you the importance of the Bible in your life there, and we had about inspiration and all that in verse 19, 20, and 21 of chapter number 1. Well, he continues on, and the first word is but. But there were, that's past, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be future false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. Now that sounds bad, doesn't it? Damnable heresies. That sounds really bad. Even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Verse number 4 says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. What he's going to give us here is he's going to give us three examples of judgment upon people. And he's saying, if God didn't spare these people, then he's certainly not going to spare false prophets and false teachers. They're going to have the judgment of God upon them also. So that's what he's talking about there. In verse number 4, it says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but he cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Some people today, they don't think there is a hell. Or they don't want to talk about it. Who does? Who wants to talk about hell? I don't like to talk about hell, but you have to talk about it because hell is in the Bible. Jesus Christ is the creator, and he's the one who created hell. And so I don't care if a famous evangelist, I don't care who it is, that come up and don't believe in hell and say there is no hell, or they don't know if there's fire in hell. They don't. The Bible says everlasting fire. That's what the Bible says. And so it doesn't matter who says it. Jesus said there was a hell. I'm not in the habit of calling Jesus Christ a liar. He made hell. The Bible says there that he cast those angels that sinned. That would probably be in Genesis chapter number 6, who cohabited with women in the Bible and produced a race of giants. And those angels that sinned, he cast them down to hell. And they're in hell today, awaiting judgment. The Bible says in verse number 5, and he spared not the old world. That would be the world before the flood. That would be the world in Noah's day. Spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow. Now, you know what Sodom and Gomorrah was. Sodom and Gomorrah was a place that was filled with homosexuals. And God rained upon that city fire and brimstone from heaven. He destroyed it. He made it. He turned it into ashes. That's what God thinks about that. I don't care what the world says. It's not right, it's wrong in the Bible, and it's still wrong, you see. And so he says, Sodom and Gomorrah, verse number 6, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. I mean, he burned the place down to the ground. They have found the ashes over there by the Dead Sea right now. So he turned it into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, verse number 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Lot was probably a good man. He was probably a good man, but he made this mistake. He took his family to live in the city of Sodom. He took his family there. That's the mistake that he made. But the Bible says that he was a just man. He was a righteous man, you see. And God delivered him. God took him out of that place. He took him out of the city of Sodom before he destroyed it. That's a picture how that God delivers. He's going to deliver the Christians out of this world before the great tribulation, you see. And so that's a picture of. Verse number 7, he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Evidently, maybe you've had this experience. Every day when he worked around people, the Bible says he was vexed with the filthy conversation that he heard. If you've ever been around that kind of thing, you see. Vexed, that means he was tormented. He was afflicted by what he heard. He hated what he heard, see. But yet he himself took his family there to live, see. And he didn't like what he heard, but he didn't leave. He's probably a wealthy man. He had a lot of cattle and all kinds of things like that. But he took his family there, see. So you need to pray about all those kind of things whenever you make a move. Sometimes it's better to make less money and live in a right place where you have a church to go to than it is to make more money and not have a church, you see. The right place. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. So don't be in a hurry to throw your family in the wrong kind of situation. That's what Lot did. He delivered just Lot, verse number 7, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Verse number 8, for that righteous man, see, that's Lot. The Bible says about Lot that he was a righteous man. He was a saved man, but he lived there among those people. He lived there among those people. He had daughters. He had daughters and sons-in-laws. And when he tried to get them out of that city, they laughed at him. They laughed at him. Verse number 8, for that righteous man, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed, that is, his soul was tormented, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. See, God came along and took him out of there before he destroyed that city. The only thing that we need to know about Lot as far as him going to heaven was that he was a righteous man. His soul was righteous. He was a saved man, even though he might not have been living right or he's in the wrong place anyway. He's a righteous man. He was saved, you see. And he lost everything. He lost everything. He lost his family, lost his house, lost his wealth, lost everything. The last time that you see Lot in the Bible is in Genesis chapter number 19. His house has been burned up. His wife turned to a pillar of salt. His sons-in-laws were killed in the city. And he is in a cave with two of his daughters. And there's bad things that happened there. So that's about Lot there. He is given as an illustration of judgment that will come upon false teachers and false prophets. It's an illustration of the judgment that will come upon them. That's what he says right there. Verse number 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the just unto the day of judgment to be punished. Verse number 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. That's a period there. I'll stop right there. Don't have time to cover the whole thing, but we'll take some things from that where the Bible tells us to beware of false prophets and teachers, okay? So let's pray. Father, we pray to you to help us this morning. Help us to be a blessing to your people, and thank you for those who've come. God, I pray you help these things to be a blessing to them, and I pray the Spirit of God would help me this morning. And the Lord, help your people, God, to be built up in the faith, to be stronger in the faith, to be made strong in the Christian faith. Please help us today. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So in this portion of Scripture, God is putting out a big sign that says, beware of false prophets and teachers. Many years ago, I don't know, probably 35 or 40 years ago, lived in Fort Worth, Texas, where I went to Bible college and I had a friend there, a good friend. His name was Jim Klonch. Jim Klonch. And he died here back in about, I don't know what year it was, 2002 or 3 or something. And I'm going to be able to see Jim one of these days. I'm going to see him in heaven. I'll be looking forward to seeing Jim. He's a good man. One day, Brother Jim and myself, we were out knocking on doors. We used to run I was a bus director over there. We had about 6 buses. And back then, I don't know, folks, what has happened. I don't know what has happened, but back then, of course, I was young. Maybe that's one thing. I was young. I was 30 years old. But we could go out and we could fill up buses. We brought in 400 kids on buses every Sunday. My wife, when she was pregnant with the 4th kid, which would be Amber, her and a lady named Judy Rogers, they ran a bus route. Every Saturday they went out visiting. Every Sunday they brought in 50 kids. They bring in 50 kids without fail, 50, 60 kids every Sunday. That was right up until the day she delivered, and then in a week or two, she was back out there on the bus route. That's what we did. I was in charge of the bus ministry. This brother Jim and I, we were visiting one day, knocking on doors, just like we still knock on doors. We walked into a yard and knocked on the door. Nobody came to the door. There was a sign over there on the fence. And I either didn't see it or I did not pay any attention to it. You always want to pay attention to beware signs. There was a sign over there that said, beware of the dog. I didn't see it or I didn't pay any attention to it. Sometimes I don't pay any attention. Sometimes I see no solicitors on the door and I just knock on the door and then I say, oops, I didn't see it. So we stood there for a little while, and in just a few seconds, this monster of a dog came around the side of the house. And I guess he was one of those dogs called a Great Dane. I mean, he was like this tall. And he came around the door and he just came up beside me and stood down and looked at me. Like that, you know, and I looked back at him. And man, I did not want to stay around there, but I didn't want to run. So I just started sort of easing back towards the, me and Brother Jim, we started easing back toward the gate, and we went out the gate, man, and we shut the gate. And I guess God protected us or something, because that dog, he just kind of stood there, you know. But whenever you see a beware sign, then pay attention to it, you know. Pay attention to a beware sign. See, God is putting a beware sign out here. Beware of false teachers and preachers. You could, I don't know any of them right now. I do, but I just don't want to say the names right now. I told you when I was a kid, we went to church and nobody carried a Bible. Isn't that strange? Nobody carried a Bible. I went to church right over here behind Pat's twin cronies. I was telling you about that list. There's a little church building over there. Years ago, it used to be called the Primitive Baptist Church. They've gone to seed on predestination and election. It's crazy. They've got Baptists on it. We used to go to church there and nobody carried a Bible. We had one Bible in our house. Folks, you could go to church around here in this town and probably you might not need a Bible. Or they don't encourage you to read a Bible. And what we're studying in Sunday school, the book of Ezra, we're going to study Nehemiah, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Judges and all those books. You probably would never hear those things. What I'm trying to say is there's a lot of people you go to and they will not encourage you to read the Bible. You know why? There's some places you could go to church and if you read the Bible, then you might not go back there, see, because they don't teach what's in the Bible. They teach a bunch of tradition. You see, there are some churches, they have councils and they all meet together and they decide what they're going to believe. Man, that's crazy. You don't decide what you're going to believe. You get your beliefs out of the Bible. Amen. You get your doctrine out of the Bible. And I read to you the Bible. And if I'm not telling you the truth, you can see it there. See, you need to read the Bible for yourself. You're a saved, and you're your own high priest. You don't need a priest running around in a black robe. You don't need that kind of stuff. You don't need a priest in a black robe to give you absolution from your sins. You don't need that. He can't give anybody absolution. You go to God. You're a priest. You are a priest yourself. You can go directly to God. He invites you. He invites you to come to Him. You don't have to go through me. I'm not your priest. I'm your pastor of this church. That's all. See, I don't tell you what to do. The Bible tells you what to do. The Bible is the authority. You see. And you can go to places, they don't encourage you to read the Bible because if you read the Bible too much, you're going to find out they're lying to you. You see. And all they do, they have some kind of hocus pocus around up there. And then they read a verse or two of Scripture, and they'll always take something out of Mark or Matthew or something like that. They'll read a few verses, and that's all you're going to get. That's all you're going to get. And they grow up to be ignorant of the Holy Scriptures, folks. We don't want you to be ignorant of the Holy Scriptures. And so, but see, you need to, you know, make sure that we try to make a lot out of the Bible here. Because the Bible is the authority. I'm not the authority. The Bible is the authority. That's God through the Holy Bible, you see. And He tells us what to do. I'm here to just tell you some things that He said. When you see a sign that says beware, and God tells us to beware, He says in the first part of the Scriptures there, He says, but there were false prophets. There were false prophets among you. That would be in the past in Israel's history. Let me just give you one illustration of some of those false prophets. In Israel's history, there was a king by the name of Ahab, and his wife is Jezebel. I'm sure you've heard of Jezebel, whether or not you've heard of Ahab. He was the king. They were very religious, and they had hundreds of prophets on the payroll. Yeah, they were supported by the king's money on the payroll. They had some prophets of Baal, and then they had some prophets of God. And they were on the prophets, and these so-called prophets, he had at least 400 of them. They would tell Ahab and Jezebel what they wanted to hear. What they wanted to hear. That's what they would tell them. King Ahab didn't like it if anyone told him the truth and it disagreed with what he wanted to hear. He didn't like that. They had a prophet in prison by the name of Micaiah. And Micaiah was a true prophet. You can read about this in 1 Kings chapter number 22. Micaiah was in jail. They fed him on bread and water. They called it bread and water of affliction. Ahab hated him because his message was never positive like he wanted to hear. He wanted to hear a lie. Some people would rather hear a lie if it's positive than the truth if it's negative. Folks, listen to me. You've got to have some negative stuff. You can't drive home unless you've got a negative post on your battery. You've got to have a negative post and a positive post. You've got to have that in your life, you see. You can't have two positive posts. It ain't going to run. It won't work. In the Bible, in Exodus chapter 20, we have the Ten Commandments. Eight of them are negative. Thou shalt not. No is a good word. Learn the word no and tell your kids, tell them no sometimes. They don't need to hear yes all the time. You know the first word that the devil ever said in the Bible? You know what the first word the devil ever said in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1. He said, yea, hath God said. Yea, that means yes. Yes, God said. He's talking to Eve. The very first word he ever said, he said, yea, yes. Did God really mean it? He's casting doubt. Where were we? Ahab, he hated this guy named Micaiah because his message was not positive like all the false prophets. All the false prophets, they all said the same thing. They all spoke positive. this particular time, they all told Ahab. Ahab asked them, should he go out to battle or should he not go out to battle? They all told Ahab the same thing. They said, yeah, go out to battle and you'll come back victorious. But one prophet, this one bad prophet that he hated, named Micaiah, he spoke negative and he said this. He said, don't go out. If you go out, you won't come back alive. That's what he told him. One prophet said no, 400 prophets said yes. They put Micaiah back on bread and water. Ahab went out to battle anyway, and in the battle, here's what happened. One of the enemy soldiers, King Ahab, tried to disguise himself. But you know what? God always knows where everybody's at. Nobody can disguise themselves and hide from God. You know, you ever seen little kids, you know, cover up their eyes and say, Daddy or Mommy, you can't see me now. It's like God. See, we think we can hide from God. Ahab tried to disguise himself, and the Bible says one of the enemy soldiers, he drew a bow at a venture, and he just let it fly. He didn't know where he shot. He drew a bow at a venture, and that arrow hit King Ahab in the one place that wasn't covered, between the harness, somewhere right in here. It hit him. He told his driver, he's in a chariot, take me back. I'm wounded. They took him back. Blood filled the chariot. He died. And the Bible says that the dogs came and licked the blood out of the chariot, which was prophesied just a little bit beforehand that it would happen to Ahab. But all the 400 false prophets, they all prophesied, yes, go out. You'll come back victorious. That's just one illustration of the false prophets in Israel's history. The Bible says in verse number 2, not only does it say, but there were false prophets in Israel. The next thing he says is this, and there shall be false teachers among you. It goes from prophets to teachers. There shall be future. Turn in your Bibles back to the left just a little bit. I think I showed you this the other day, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2 we'll read there. The Bible says, I want to show you teachers where it says. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2 says this, preach the word. It's Paul speaking to Timothy and to all preachers. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Father, folks, let me stop here for a minute. There is a difference between preachers preaching and teaching. Preaching has an element in it that is mentioned right here. He said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. That's preaching. Teaching is just to impart knowledge, just to tell what it says. But preaching, to apply the scriptures to our lives. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Tell us what's wrong, tell us what's right. Encourage us to do what's right. It's preaching. He says over here, let me go on reading. He says in verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, verse number 3, for the time will come when they, let me tell you this one more time, they, you know who they is? Who do you think they is? There's people in the church. People in the church, for they, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves, what? Preachers or teachers? Teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. That's what he's telling. That's what he's telling there. You see, the Bible says that there'll be false teachers among you, and that would be future. That would be us right now. That would be in our time. That would be right now in the church age, which is where we're in. Let me show you some things from the Old Testament. Please take your Bible and turn back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 5. Jeremiah chapter number 5. Jeremiah chapter number 5. And I'm going to read you verse number 12 and 13, I believe it is. Jeremiah chapter number 5, verse number 12 and 13. Verse number 12 says this, Jeremiah 5, 12, they have belied the Lord and said, he's talking about here false prophets and preachers. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword or famine. In other words, they're saying that everything's going to be all right. You're not going to see any judgment. Verse number 13, and the prophets shall become wind. You know what that means there? The prophets shall become wind. In other words, they'll be like windbags. You ever heard the phrase? They'll be windbags. Their words won't amount to anything. Be like just wind. And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. And I think I want you to go next to verse number 31 in the same chapter. Jeremiah 5:31. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to hear it so. You see that? And what will you do in the end thereof? It says right there, the prophets prophesy falsely. They don't tell the people the truth, and the people love it. They don't want to hear the truth. If it's bad, if it's negative, don't tell us about it, you see. They don't tell them the truth. They don't tell them all the truth, you see. They're just spewing out things that sound good. Turn on over in Jeremiah chapter number 23. Jeremiah chapter number 23, and look at verse number 16, I believe it is. Jeremiah chapter number 23 and verse number 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. In other words, don't listen to them. There's a lot of people, they're just saying a bunch of stuff that they made up. They're just saying a bunch of stuff that they made up. Let me just give you some things here about false prophets that the Bible says right here. Number one, false prophets and false teachers will always be around. They will always be around. It says, there shall be false teachers among you. They're always going to be there. That is why that we have a bunch of denominations in our world. It started with one church in Jerusalem, and now then there are many, many, many churches. Listen, folks, if you were to go 200 years, there are a bunch of churches that started 200 years ago, a little less than 200 years ago. I mean, I could name you some of them. The Mormon Church started a little less than 200 years ago. The Jehovah's Witness Church started a little less than 200 years ago. The Seventh-day Adventist Church started a little less than 200 years ago. The Assemblies of God Church, you go back just a little over 100 years ago, and none of these people existed. Church of Christ, there were no Church of Christ 200 years ago. It didn't exist. A man started them. You cannot go back in history and find where a man started a Baptist church. But the Baptist church can't save you. The Baptist church can't save you. It has nothing to do with salvation. But you can go back and you can find it. Pentecostal. I can show you, all you have to do is read a little bit of history. I believe that Pentecostal started in about 1905. Someone was coaxed into talking in tongues. A bunch of gibberish and all that kind of stuff. And they started denomination, Assemblies of God, all these kinds of things. Not only that, but then you can go back 300 and 400 years back and you can find more churches that were started. John Wesley started the Methodist Church. He was a good man, one of the most holy men that ever lived. He started the Methodist Church. He came over to America as a missionary. But now then they've gone completely to pot. There were great revivals, that were preached by Methodist preachers. I've got a story or a biography about Peter Cartwright, but all that kind of stuff is gone. All that kind of stuff is gone. Now then they're not good. See, they're not good. False prophets and false preachers and teachers will always be around. Number two, false prophets and preachers, they distort the truth. They distort the truth, they pervert the scriptures, and they teach heresies. Look at verse number one. It says, there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. Well, that sounds bad, doesn't it? See, they pervert the scripture, and they teach heresies. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse number 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves, you see. They teach heresies, sort of like things like baby sprinkling and baptismal regeneration, and you have to be baptized in our church to be saved, and there's no salvation outside of our church, all those kinds of things. They pervert the scriptures. Listen, turn in your Bibles back to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 3, and I want to show you, salvation is simple, but they pervert it, and they make it hard, and they add to it. Look in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 23, or verse number 22. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. You see that? You see how simple it is? By faith of Jesus Christ. Verse number 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Look in verse number 26, to declare I say at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which what? Believeth in Jesus. Look at verse number, turn the page to chapter Romans 5 and verse number 1. It says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they twist the scripture and they distort it and they pervert it and they teach heresies. Number 3, they deny the Lord that bought them. They deny Jesus Christ, you see. Listen, folks, I heard this with my own ears. Our former president of the United States, named Barack Obama, was giving an interview. And the person who was interviewing asked him this question: what does Jesus Christ mean to you? Now, if someone asks you that, I'll bet you that most of you in here could say this: well, He's my Savior. He is the Son of God. He's born of the Virgin. He's God manifest in the flesh. He's coming again. He died on the cross for my sins. That's not what He said. He said this: He's a historical figure. He denied that Jesus Christ, His death on the cross, meant anything. According to him, He just died a martyr's death. Folks, that is evil. That is evil. You can't be saved and believe those kind of things. That's not a saved man. They deny the Lord that bought them. People can deny Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles. I'll be finished in just a second. 1 John chapter 4. I want you to see these verses. 1 John chapter number 4. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1, beloved, believe not every spirit. You know what the spirit is there? That's what comes out of your mouth. It's what comes out of people's mouth. Don't believe everything that you hear. Do not believe everything that you hear. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. You know how you try them? You try them by the Word of God. Whether they be of God, because why? Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Verse number 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That's the incarnation there. That's the incarnation. Verse number 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it is in the world. You see, the Bible says there are many false prophets are going out into the world. So see, they deny the Lord that bought them. The Bible says, number 4, I'll not take time to go over these very much, that many people will follow them. Look here for just a second. Folks, the majority of the world is not going to heaven. You take back there in the flood, in Noah's day, the majority perished in the flood. Eight people. There's 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 people perished in the flood. 8 people were spared, and the majority of people perished, destroyed in the flood. The majority of people are not going to heaven. Sodom and Gomorrah, the majority of people perished in Sodom and Gomorrah. They were burnt to ashes. Three people were spared. Three. The majority of people in this world are not saved. You're a Bible-believing Christian. You are not in the majority. You're in the minority. But be glad of it, because the majority is hardly ever right. The majority is hardly ever right. Many people will follow them. And I've given you many times before Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. There are 1.57 billion Muslims in this country. I pray for the Muslim, for there to be a great revival among Muslims in this country. God save the Muslims, but they must be saved in order to go to heaven. And last, swift destruction will come upon those false teachers. I've got one thing to show you, and then I'm finished. Turn your Bibles back to 2 Peter. I want to show you these false teachers. How do they end up? Look in verse 21 and 22 of 2 Peter chapter 2. It says there, "For it had been better for them," that'd be the false teachers and prophets, "it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." The holy commandment is found in 1 John 3:23, and that the commandment is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe. They're not saved. Look in verse 12. Look at verse 12 over there. It says, "But these as natural brute beasts." You see, look, brute beast. God's people are not beast. They're sheep. Amen. So these people are not sheep. They're beast. They're unsaved people. Brute beast in verse 12. And look in verse number 22. "But as it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow was washed to her wallowing in the mire." You see there, false teachers and false prophets are called dogs and sows. They are not called sheep. God's people are sheep. Amen. But these are not sheep. They're unsaved people, you see. They're religious unsaved people, but they're not saved. Amen. I'm finished. Let's bow our heads.